So hello, my fabulous, fabulous listeners, and welcome to yet another instance of the radio show Sex Talk, also known to some people as Loveline. This is WRCT Pittsburgh, and tonight I've invited a pair of sexual experts, fresh from spring break, to discuss their experiences. The problem, as I was discussing with my co-host Pablo, who's not here, the problem with being a student at Carnegie Mellon is people do not know how to have a satisfying sexual relationship. They don't know the first thing about it. They don't know how to flirt. They don't know how to meet people. They don't know how to get laid. In short, they have no clue. And so I have carefully selected two of the most attractive and beautiful members of the CMU community to reveal their secrets. So with me in the studio tonight is Joey and Dawson, completely coincidentally sharing the same name as the characters in Dawson's Creek.
We happen to be from there, actually.
Yeah, we're from Dawson's Creek. Oh,
interesting. So is there an explanation for why the Dawson's head is so abnormally large?
Well, you know what they say about the size of a man's head.
Interesting.
Wasn't really our startup music, though, was it?
Well, it was, in fact, our startup music. I chose it myself.
It was awful. It was just terrible.
No
offense.
I'm a little bit older than you, and so that came from my era, the era of pathetic losers who listened to bad music and couldn't get laid.
In the 80s, where you couldn't get laid because the 70s were over and the 90s hadn't happened yet. It was the whole dry spell.
Exactly. So, that is my world. So we should just get started, but I want to remind our listeners right away that if you do want to call in, please do, and the numbers are 621-WRCT and 268-WRCT. So, Joey.
Yes.
Tell me, let's just start at the beginning. Let's say I have no clue about sex and flirtation, and in fact I don't. You're a woman. Tell me what I would do if I were a woman to flirt with a man.
Women flirting with a man.
Let's say for example you're at a frat party.
Oh God. Well, party flirting is very easy to do. Walk up to any guy holding a beer. Act drunk and cute, dress provocatively, and be very friendly.
Interesting.
And talk
compliment
about
them
a lot.
Yeah.
So my problem is that I'm actually afraid to approach people at all. You're just saying that anyone holding a beer can will be willing to talk to me?
I don't want to make a gross generalization like that, but I definitely think that alcohol eases the way of flirting, and I think of making people brave enough to go up to people that maybe they wouldn't talk to on campus normally, that they just feel relaxed and maybe feel like they have more of a chance. It's dark, it's a closed, quiet kind of setting, and everyone who's there is there for a reason, to party and have fun, and flirting is fun, so.
So would this happen after the hazing and the criminal activity, or?
No, before, during, and after, in my opinion, probably.
So do you have a story about this?
I have to suppress your story for just a minute because we already have a caller, and I'd like to put that back in the air if I can. Welcome to the show.
Hey.
Hey.
I have a question for Dawson.
Yeah?
Yeah, does Dawson actually have an active sex life at this campus?
I have.
Absolutely.
Had a somewhat active sex life on this campus.
Rampant would be a good word.
So you wouldn't say that you're living in the 80s, huh?
I wouldn't say that I'm living in the 80s?
Yeah, because that was when they had the whole dry spell, right?
I guess not, to use the metaphor from earlier in the show.
Yeah. Okay, that was my question.
Woohoo!
Now, caller, stay on the line a little longer. Who are you?
Who am I?
Yeah.
My name's Castor.
It's nice to meet you. How are you?
Pretty good.
Are you all alone tonight?
No, I'm doing my physics homework.
Physics to keep you company doesn't sound very good.
Yeah, I was going to come join you guys, but you know.
Oh, so do you have, do you find that, well, we haven't really gotten into the flirting techniques yet, so I can't actually test you on them, but it actually would be interesting to have Joey or Dawson, for that matter, try his and her flirting techniques on you to see how you would react.
Okay.
Are you willing to sort of listen to their techniques and call back a little later and report your sort of arousal status?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, that would be fantastic. That would be fantastic. So give us 15 minutes to get this going and then give us a call back. And this holds to the rest of the audience as well. We want your ratings on how well these techniques work.
Okay.
So thanks for calling.
Goodbye.
Bye.
So,
well, if you noticed, Corey, I already tried to use some slight flirting tactics on the caller.
I like that. He was immediately warming up to you. I was really impressed,
thank
actually.
You.
Without even seeing your bare midriff, which I have the advantage of seeing here in the studio.
That's definitely a key point to flirting. Bare midriffs work very well, women.
Yeah. Do you have to work out and exercise in order to have the sort of attractive figure that men seem to crave? Or?
I'm actually lucky that no, I don't really have to, and I know there are probably people who want to kill me for that. But I mean, I eat well. I do exercise. I mean, I think sex keeps you fit, trim, burns lots of calories.
So I think the caller raised a very interesting question. This is Dr. Dawson. I mean, Dawson, you know, would you characterize your sexual experience as a few long-term relationships or dozens of random partners? Like, I see it's more toward the far part of the spectrum.
Yeah, I'm not really a relationship person. You know, I've tried and I've wanted, but
not
it just
really?
Doesn't seem... Well, no, so I've never really been a relationship person. I've always tried, you know, and in the theory, I always want to be like, I'm going to find someone that's going to be special to me. But usually what happens is you end up, like, having these one-night drunken stupor hookups where you just... end up with one or more people, and you just sort of, and you know, it's hard to base a relationship off of that.
Well, plus you like variety.
Yeah.
And relationships are rather constricting as mm-hmm. far as that goes.
Oh. Well, monogamy was a...
Presumably, I mean, you know, we're not completely anti-monogamy here at the studio, but presumably relationships offer a different kind of variety, and that kind being exactly the same person, exactly the same position night after night. So you would characterize yourself as someone who's sexually experimenting and having sex as a kind of it's something you do for recreation.
It's like a hobby, you know.
so Joey, do you feel the same way, or are you?
I think in college, that's the way it is, and I think for most sexually active people out there, that's probably how they feel. College is definitely a setting that allows for promiscuity, for meeting new people, for getting a variety of sexual experiences that you weren't exposed to in high school or, you know, at other times, because everyone's really free and open and willing to experiment.
I mean, I think people listening should take this advice to heart, because speaking as a college graduate and completely missing out on all the sexual activity that was going on, it's downhill from there. You know, once you graduate, you're you know, trapped at Microsoft, you know, shrink wrapping Microsoft Word or whatever. So, you know, get laid while you can, for God's sake. Please do not hide behind some pathetic shield of morality. Just get out there and enjoy yourself.
But don't get laid just to get laid.
Why not?
Or get laid just to get laid, then.
Well, you know, one or the other has to be true, I guess. So why not? Are you saying that you should be,
Dawson and I differ. I guess it's a personal opinion, but I have gotten laid just to get laid, and I don't know, those experiences aren't always the best sexual experiences, but maybe Dawson can tell you differently.
Well, this is true. They're not always the best sexual experiences, but at the same time, you know, you have this morality thing, and you have plenty of time to embrace that when you get older. But for now, you know, you'll get over it. It's kind of like, the first time you have sex for a girl, you know, it hurts at first, but, you know, after a while you get used to it.
It's
and you start
true,
to like
it's
it,
true.
You know?
That's actually, I mean, the first time
And then,
ever.
Like, you come, so then, you know, everything's like, fine after that.
Yeah, it's a relaxing.
You just
of,
remember
like,
the pleasure.
You sit back, you think, I'm a slut. I like it.
Is that actually true? I mean, do you mean the first time you ever have intercourse, or do you mean as penetration begins, it's sort of uncomfortable? What are you saying here?
I mean, if you have...
How did you know? First of all,
you're talking about
not having the particular sex organ. Well, I don't know. Maybe it would hurt for you.
Like,
does it?
To have sex with people?
Yeah.
No. I thought we were speaking sort of a morality metaphor.
Oh, hurting that way. Okay.
It hurts your heart. Well, I mean, so you know, I just don't happen to know. I mean, so for example, you know, I'm aware that. You know, receptive anal intercourse, for example, can hurt if you don't do it right or if you're not sort of gentle at first or whatever. But I wasn't aware this is true for women and normal vaginal intercourse. Is that...
Yeah, well, definitely, in my personal experience for the first time, yeah. It's not the best kind of feeling, but you just sort of go with it and hope the next time will be better, and it always is. It's not that way with every partner. And I guess pain often depends on the size. I hate to say it because I don't put a lot of emphasis on size being important, but the larger you are, sometimes it can be a little painful.
Well, how fantastic that is. We had a previous female guest who actually said that size was totally crucial and that she actually rejected men once she felt into their boxer shorts and realized that they were not quite measuring up. I have to interrupt even myself because we've got a caller in the line. I'd like to put the caller in the air. Welcome, caller.
Hello.
Yeah.
I'm on the air.
Yeah, you're on the air. I'd actually like you to turn off your radio for a moment because we're on this delay technology and it's going to get very, very confusing. Fabulous.
Yeah, great. My name's Austin, and I have a couple of questions for the... Not a couple, I just have one question they were talking about there.
Oh, please feel free.
Yeah, you know, they were talking about their openness there, and I was wondering what they would say their kinkiest sexual experience might have been.
Well, I think this is turning into like a truth or dare kind of situation. What's the kinkiest thing you've ever done?
It is. It's a fantastic question. I like personally keep the show serious, but I ultimately do what my callers want, and if they want a kinky story, please, I will not stand in the way.
I love a kinky story. Only because I'm like you. I'm one of those people that haven't been able to enjoy the pleasures of college, so I'd like to know like what I'm missing. You know?
That's fantastic. This is a public service.
Well, you have a wonderful voice. I mean, if you look half as good as your voice sounds, I'm sure you shouldn't have any trouble. I'm sure you're just being modest.
Really? Well, I appreciate you saying that.
No problem.
Thank you very much.
So, in fact, are you having difficulty here at Carnegie Mellon?
But I'd like to talk to Joey for a second. No, I'm just kidding.
Indeed.
Austin, have you ever had radio sex?
Oh, my. No, have you?
No, me either. You want to be my first?
Joey, I'd love to.
I have to actually suppress that idea here.
Oh, really?
There actually are lines we're not supposed to cross. But if you could just describe in more clinical terms some of your more interesting sexual encounters here on campus, that would be really helpful.
Here on campus?
Or, you know, on the planet, anywhere. Mm.
Well, there was a time we videotaped ourselves.
So, Joey and Dustin, you've actually had an affair.
Actually, that was how we met.
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
So, and what environment was that? Was it a frat party?
He was walking by on the sidewalk. I thought he was attractive. I invited him back to my...
Wait, so you just walked up to him? Was there any kind of... There must have been kind of some kind of... Were you smoking?
No, it was a, hi, what's your name? Mm-hmm. I said, hey, we're having a party in my room. Do you want to come? And he did.
Party.
Yeah, literally, I guess. That's great.
I'm sure you can use your imagination.
Wow, that's fantastic. So... So, I mean, objectively speaking, Dawson is a very attractive man.
Oh, definitely.
And so I can see how just walking down the street, he would turn some heads at me. So, do you get these kind of invitations all the time, and do you accept them?
Well, normally you don't meet people who are quite so forward. I mean, I've never been very good at just approaching people randomly in the street without some sort of segue into it.
Were you turned off, though?
No, but you know.
Oh, so there was mutual attraction, obviously.
No, well, she's gorgeous. I noticed her before.
Oh, wow.
I noticed her before she came up to me, so... But she's just a very forward person. Usually the segue is, well, again, often involving alcohol. If you are See, I'm not very good at saying no to anyone, so if someone propositions me, I tend to get in precarious situations with people that are not... that I don't necessarily find...
Fear goggles, yes. Right.
Or CMU goggles, too. So,
CMU goggles.
The theory behind CMU goggles is somehow when you're drinking, everybody at CMU, the trolls and the gnomes start looking more and more attractive.
No,
and not everyone.
The theory behind CMU goggles is that like this school is filled with like rather unattractive people, and so the longer you're exposed to it, the more desensitized you are, and your standards begin to drop drastically.
Yeah, I mean you have to take what's out there.
So maybe I should drop my standards then. Maybe I'd be, a bit more happy.
Well, I mean, it depends on how anxious you are to get some sort of physical relations going. I mean, if that's what's on your mind.
Well, I've got the whole, there's always the possibility of masturbation for me, so I'm not quite sure.
Oh, but that's so boring.
It is, isn't it?
I know.
Well, actually, I didn't have to interrupt.
Keyboard all sticky?
A previous guest actually just had a long discussion about masturbation. We didn't really go into it actually as much as we could have, but masturbation is entirely underrated in this society. I believe, you know, you can have long, as I know intimately, you can have long, very satisfying masturbatory experiences.
As he flexes his hand. Staring at his hand.
Sorry, my right arm is actually about twice as muscled as my left because of this.
You know,
weightlifting, right.
That's called the CMU deformity.
lots of people. I mean, Pamela Henderson isn't necessarily a bad person to hang out with, but at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, don't knock masturbation because everyone's done it, and it'll get you through the dry spot, shall we say? But God, it is boring. I totally feel your pain.
Yeah.
I understand. Sometimes, you know, you just want something different, and if that's what you're looking for, you know. Give the less attractive girls a chance, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't all have to be Cindy Crawford.
I'm thinking about going outside of CBU. Maybe I should go dancing or something. I don't know.
Dancing is excellent.
Dancing's
excellent
great.
Way to flirt. It's like
also, it's dark,
perfect setting.
So, like, your standards automatically sort of drop at those places.
So, yeah. So what if you completely hate dancing? Like, for example, me, again, let's throw the conversation back to me for a while. I have no idea why people dance. They're, like, out there, they're moving, it looks completely absurd to me. I go out there, I feel like the biggest pathetic loser.
See, dancing gives you a reason to masturbate, because you dance, and if it gets sexual, then, you know, it arouses all these great sexual feelings. And
okay, so Austin, can I ask you a question?
So dance?
Yes.
Okay, so you're out on the dance floor, and I'm assuming you're freaking some girl, and you get aroused. Why do you go home and masturbate? Why don't you try and work something up, or is it lack of courage, or
no,
you think you'll get
standards.
Rejected?
It's the standards, you know, like, I'm kind of like you, you know, I like to feel that connection in life, but the connection's not there, you know, I just don't want to have some random, you know.
Yeah, I totally understand.
Yeah, so, I don't know, maybe I should lose the morals. I think you guys are right, I think I want to do that now.
Well, I'm definitely not at all endorsing that, because
we create a campus epidemic.
I know.
Where everyone runs out and just has sex with, like,
I know.
Things.
Well, I think they should, I mean, I know an awful lot of people who appear to be incredibly horny, and yet they have this kind of moral thing due to their upbringing or due to their background. They're like, oh, I need to wait for the right person and for it to be right. And I'm like, oh, please, you don't even know.
Yeah, who's the right person?
It's like, you're a virgin. How can you possibly know what you want? That's the most completely absurd idea I've ever heard. And so I'm trying to tell people to loosen up, make a few mistakes, so long as they're not, you know, you're not risking your health or you're not getting killed by some kind of psychopath.
As long as you're safe.
As long as you're safe.
Exactly.
And use
especially at this
reasonable
campus,
judgment.
You gotta watch out.
Just carry condoms and mace, and you'll be fine.
It's been so long for me, you know. I pulled my condom out of my wallet the other day just to, like, you know, look at it and see how it was gone, and it was, like, crumpled into this little ball, and you know? I was like, oh, my God, has it been that long?
Yeah, you know you're not supposed to store them in your wallet, right?
Yeah, I know.
That's good.
You know,
and they have an expiration date that you should be checking out.
Yeah, I was thinking about just framing it and, one day, staring at it.
This is like the dry spell.
Well, since this campus is you know, 95% male, Austin, why don't you, have you considered turning bisexual or completely homosexual? I mean, surely that would help.
Hello. You still there?
I see. I've totally.
He's like, gotta go.
You've altered my paradigm.
What?
Homosexuality is not an option, Austin, or is it?
Say again?
Austin, are you going to turn gay in order to get laid? Yes or no? It's a simple question.
Oh, I thought you were talking to the other guy that was there.
No,
his name's Dawson.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Indeed. That was directed at you.
Well, hell, you guys are telling me you know, lose all morals. I say, why not? Let's all just roll and rumple and have fun.
Well, it is spring.
I think that's a fantastic attitude. And spring, I mean, you can see it in the air. As I was talking to Joey just a little bit earlier when we were doing our rubdown,
rubdown? I missed the rubdown?
That was the part of the standard pre-show interview.
Oh, wow.
With everyone or just the girls?
Well, with the girls, the attractive men.
Don't deny me.
Yes, so you're saying.
I'm getting very confused. We were talking about how it's spring, and suddenly there are all these people on campus who you've never seen before and are just fantastically attractive.
True. Either that or, like, the sunshine and the blue sky makes them look attractive. You know?
That's my opinion.
And, like, the smell of spring and sex in the air, and it's like, oh.
It's so true, and people wear less clothing or more revealing clothing.
And they're tan, and they they've just gotten back from vacation, so they're all rejuvenated and filled with energy.
I mean, winter clothes and winter coats are not, let's say, the most sexually appealing articles. I definitely think a tank top and, you know, nice shorts or no shirt, I mean, can definitely
I personally have a fetish for these volleyball players, these I don't know if it's the CMV volleyball team or what, these men that go around shirtless and playing volleyball. I get all these perverse sexual fantasies just walking around the cut.
Sure.
Not I love perverse, it when they have their shirt off.
They're not perverse sexual fantasies. They're just sexual fantasies. They're perverse if your morals are fucked up.
I'm definitely sure that Corey's fantasies are perverse compared to anyone's standards.
Well, I don't know. My
anytime midgets and cattle prods are included.
Golf clubs.
Golf clubs. Wow. Well,
of course, this is not a show about me. It's about you. So.
But I thought it was just about you. Never mind.
But indeed, you know, but the thing that's different is that for me, it is just a masturbatory fantasy, and that's all I have. Whereas for you two, the sexual elite, it is reality. It is a daily lifestyle because you are. I mean, you look like you're straight off the
sex wagon.
Exactly.
Excellent. Thank you.
You look like you're straight off of Dawson's Creek or 90210, and you know you're young, you're beautiful, you can have it all, and you do. So,
yeah, I hate to say that attractiveness is important, but I mean,
it is.
It does help ease the situation in
a
lot of ways.
When you see someone from across, say, campus, or you're in the UC, if you see someone walking by, you don't see them, and you're like, ooh, they have the hottest personality I've ever seen.
That's right.
It's true. Anyone who says that looks aren't important is either lying or blind. I mean, and I know that sounds incredibly shallow, but that is the first thing that you notice about a person.
And what's wrong with being shallow, after all?
Nothing, I think.
let me ask this. So for the benefit of those other people who aren't as gifted with attractiveness, what have you ever dated an attractive man or woman? Either of you?
An unattractive?
Right. I mean, an actually unattractive person because they had some other fabulous quality.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Oh. Well, I can't ask Dawson this because I know Dawson has the self-destructive streak.
Not that you date, but did you have sex with that unattractive person that just had that great quality?
Yeah, I mean...
Really?
He had the quality that he had. He wasn't a good... I mean, he was, you know, not terrible looking. Not somebody who would ever be on a magazine. Probably somebody I wouldn't look at twice on campus, but he had sex appeal. And sometimes... I don't understand it. The ugliest people can radiate sexual energy, and it makes you want to get to know them.
Wow.
Interesting.
I need to find a way to radiate.
It's in the eyes.
It's in the walk.
It's walking with confidence, regardless of what you look like.
It's in the clothes, the walk, the haircut, the...
But, it doesn't have to be that, like, calculated. I definitely think it's how you convey yourself. And, yeah, what you put on your body and how you style your hair is important, but... You can say a lot more in the way that you look in someone's eyes and say, I want you.
What about the voice? Does this voice say, I want you? Like, do you feel like I want you right now with this voice? I'm trying to know if I'm doing a good job. I want to learn how to do this.
Well,
do you
want a pointer?
Yes.
Okay. My biggest pet peeve is when guys coming off is too eager.
Oh, really?
Definitely a turnoff.
And insecurity, guys and girls. It's one of those situations where someone's always saying, like, I'm so ugly, I'm so fat, it's very grating to hear.
Because you know they want you to say, no, you're not fat, but after a while you just want to say...
Go on a diet.
Yeah, I don't know.
And also...
we'll keep talking around.
Hello, Austin.
Yes.
Oh, he's still there.
Austin,
are you doing anything?
Right. Where's that phone?
Austin's changing into female clothing.
No, I was just trying.
Austin, who's there with you?
Something went down the wrong. I'm sorry?
Who's there with you?
A friend of mine.
What's their name?
I'm sorry?
What's his name?
John?
John?
Yes.
John. Yes, John.
Is John in the same dilemma you're in?
Yeah, I think John's in the exact same dilemma.
I think you and John should get
on each other. Out.
I think you guys should hook up with each other.
Yeah, we were thinking about it.
You know, I mean, same-sex
Can be very fulfilling. You know what the other person wants. They know what you want.
I mean, I think that's exactly right. I mean, how could it not be true? I mean, men. I think a man can give a far better blowjob than any woman can because, for example, he knows how the penis works. I mean, he's got one.
Just get really drunk.
Familiarity
one night
with
and
the
just
territory.
Lock the door.
Just pretend to be drunk. I mean, yeah, plausible deniability is all you really need.
Yes. Well, we're gonna go try that. So.
Okay, we've driven people to deviant lifestyles. I love it.
Yes, it's like Clerks.
Excellent.
Well, that's fantastic. Now, I want you two to get together and maybe, if there's still time during the show, you can call back and explain how it was. Once the pleasure subsided and the feeling of shame and regret returns, you can describe your feelings to us, and we'd be very interested. Actually, we got interrupted. Joey was actually in the middle of a very incredibly important point, which I think was how to be attractive. I mean, like, look at me, complete failure, right? So what do I have to do to get laid on this campus? I mean, is it my fabulous, totally lame T-shirt? Is it the absurd shaved head? What do I do? Lose 20 pounds? Tell me, I'm ready.
Well, as I think Dawson mentioned earlier, it has a lot to do with your self-confidence.
Ooh.
And I know that's like the major issue for people who think that they're unattractive, but if you think you're unattractive, we will too, because we'll be able to see right through to you and know that you feel ugly.
If you carry it off like, I can get you, I can, like, it pisses everyone off, that sort of like, I know I can get you into bed attitude, and everyone gets very unnerved by it, and they're like, no, you can't, you can't have
those me. Are the people
yeah,
who get
those
laid.
Those people are also, also with that, even though you resent them, there's a strange sexual attraction to those people at the same time.
That's fascinating.
It's definitely an attitude. You can say a lot in the way that you look at somebody, in casual touching, in witty conversation. You can get somebody who maybe you think is out of your league to look at you the way that you want the person to look at you, just by, like, a few...
A casual touch.
A casual touch, a telling glance.
Oh, that's fabulous. I want to hear these things because they're very fascinating to me, but the callers always come first, and we have another caller.
Oh, sure.
What do you do?
Yeah. Excellent.
Welcome back to the air caller.
Hi.
We're popular.
Yeah, this is Castro again.
Oh, welcome back.
Hey, what's up?
How's it going?
Castro, mi amor.
Castor as in castor oil?
No.
Or Castro as in
Fidel?
Fidel.
Yeah.
Viva Cuba.
just want to say, like, on the whole thing of, like, flirting, like, I don't know, I think that Dawson came off a bit scary, you know? He sounded kind of like a walking STD. With the whole, going out and just, like, finding a one-night stand, getting drunk, and, you know, hopping in the sack with almost anyone that looks slightly good.
Oh, God. Hello.
All right, let me repeat that.
Hold on.
So,
hopping in the...
Oh, God. Hello.
All right, let me repeat that.
Hold on.
So,
hopping in the sack does not necessarily mean that you have sex with them. I mean, you can always hook up with someone.
Yeah.
And also, there's that whole mentality that I live, that I definitely believe in, which is never touch anything that's wet. So, you know, I mean, like...
Whoa.
Never touch.
You always want to be protected no matter what you're doing.
Okay. That sounds weird, but... Yeah, I guess, like, but, I guess on the other hand, you know, like, Joey? Like,
yeah.
She had, like... You have, like, a really sexy voice, so, I mean, like, of course you don't have to say, like, anything in particular, like, cohesive. You can just, like, talk about just about anything, and you probably, like, turn someone on, because, you know, I mean, like, I was just turned on listening to your voice.
People have told me I should be a phone sex operator.
Yeah.
Weren't you trying that out for
me? I mean, I wouldn't really consider it, because it's not very classy, but, you know.
Right. Joey, have you ever had phone sex?
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so have I.
So with people you know, or have you actually called some 900 number?
Oh, with people I know.
Whereas me, I've not.
I'm sorry.
That was sort of...
Hello?
Yeah, what's up?
What'd you say?
I said, whereas I have not.
Oh.
Wow, see? Well,
I call up someone you know right now and give it a try.
It's good practice for when you're in person with somebody, because it, you know.
So are you in a relationship right now?
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Oh, you guess so. Okay, that's a strong one.
Well, you know, it's a pretty dry relationship, you know.
Well, you should call this boy, girl, what is it, both? You should call these people up and just, you know, try and initiate some phone sex with them, see what happens.
I don't know. That's not the kind of thing that really turns me on.
I think when you're actually face-to-face with someone.
But you said my voice was sexy.
Well, you're the exception. I think my girlfriend has a real sexy voice. But...
Oh, behave.
Just to touch on this other point for a minute, I mean, I think, you know, obviously the risk of HIV and all kinds of other STDs is very real, and so... And so, you know, safe sex is important. And what safer way to have sex than phone sex, right? I mean, if you're actually really concerned, I mean, the other person can be, like, the skankiest vector of whatever set of diseases you want. Obviously phone sex is very safe. And I think is a completely, you know, healthy and fascinating way for you both to explore your own body and to interact with another person simultaneously and safely. But so there's that point. I also... In talking about picking up strangers and having sex, I mean, I think, I would hope that the message is, I mean, what do you do? I mean, I think when I have had sex with people I don't know very well, I certainly have tried to be as safe as possible in terms of, like, the condom thing, and basically, what was this rule? Don't touch anything that's not wet.
No, that is wet.
I don't know. I mean,
that's like the extreme version of the rule, but I mean, it's just like always be safe with no matter, like, if you're in a sexually, if you're having sexual contact with someone, you should always be protected.
Right. And so I think it's perfect. I mean, people confuse these two issues. I think it's perfectly possible to have kind of interesting, pleasurable sexual contact without a high risk of transmitting any kind of disease. And so even I think it's sort of hard to tell. Even if somebody looks really attractive, they could be indeed seething with organisms. and so, but anyway, I just wanted to sort of make that point. So, where were we? I would like to get back, because there's all these flirting techniques. We're really not getting to the basic flirting techniques. You're talking about talking to people, making eye contact.
All right. Most effective flirting. What is your most effective flirting endeavor?
Okay.
Today, for example.
So, okay, let's take the most extreme scenario. Somebody I don't know that I just happen to see, and maybe they're sitting outside having lunch, and I think they're attractive. So my first step would be to make eye contact with them and make sure that they know that I'm making specific eye contact with them.
Interesting. But when I do that, it frightens people. My look of, my eye contact and my look of derisive hatred are identical. I mean,
you don't want your look to say, I want to have sex with you right now. You want your look to say, I notice you, I think you're attractive, and maybe end it with, like, kind of a sexy smile.
So
that you can't really tell, well, is she just being friendly, or is
okay,
she...
Okay, I want you to do that to me right now so I understand what it is. Here I am, I'm sipping my cappuccino, minding my business, doing my calculus homework. Is it happening?
Mm-hmm. Now I'm laughing, so no.
I can't see you talking to the microphone, but that was pretty good. The eyes kind of work.
Yeah, it's definitely an eye thing. No, that's not the look. What you're doing right now, don't ever do that.
No, never make that face.
You're blowing like a fish face.
That's what I mean. I mean, this is why I'm just so completely despised both here
Okay. This is going to sound really strange, but pretend it's your grandmother and how you'd smile at her, like a sweet smile.
So you want
picture your grandmother. I'm not saying that, but like, you know, a sweet smile.
So you want sort of the warmth to kind of naturally rise up through you.
Mm-hmm. Also, another really effective thing is if you're a smoker, like, opens up
many
innumerable doors.
I've seen that. I mean, this whole can I bum a light thing seems like a powerful...
It really works well when someone, like, their lighter and they light your cigarette... Well, first of all, if someone ever asks you for a light, take it as an opportunity and always light their cigarette for them. Never just hand them your lighter. And as you're lighting the cigarette, try and look into their eyes. And if they look back up at you,
That's the smoker's
code.
It is an unspoken smoker's kind of code thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's funny because can I have a light has almost turned into a line, but... I mean, you really do need a light, so, I mean, it can pass off as whatever you want it to.
Wow, and later in your relationship, as the deterioration progresses...
As you die of cancer.
Can I share your respirator? I mean, it's the same kind
of
thing, right? Wow, that's fantastic. So can I borrow...
So the look, yeah, and the smile.
I think that's what
the light. So everyone take up smoking.
I'll tell you, in my experience, like, when people... I mean, most people are really frightened of me normally, but I have noticed when I'm not paying attention to how much people hate me, and I'm thinking about something pleasant, and I'm in my own little dream world and smiling, I do notice people are they do react to me better. Like, I'll notice people looking at me then because I'm happy. And so if I could only simulate this feeling of happiness all the time, I would be, I think this would fix my problem. Just sharing my own personal pain. So, moving on.
And we appreciate it.
Yeah. Let's go on quickly to things that don't work, if we can.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, what are the flirtatious frat boy lines that just utterly fail because they're so awful?
Hey, do you go to Pitt? Doesn't work.
Really?
What are the
yeah, you go to Pitt. Now, does that not work because it's insulting, or does it just
I think it's supposed
stupid?
To be some sort of compliment that all the attractive girls go to Pitt and not Carnegie Mellon, but I find it insulting.
Right.
What else doesn't
the
work?
Women are
hey, I think you're really pretty. If a guy talks to me about my looks...
Hey, I think you're really pretty.
Okay, no, they'd never say that, like... You're hot, or whatever they would say.
Really? They
in a drunken stupor. Sure.
Yeah,
oh, sure.
Can I just tell you that you're real hot?
Yeah. Perfect example. And I would say, no, you can't. Bye. I mean, that's...
Wow.
That's, like, slimy.
This is before the administration of the real hypnol, right?
So yeah. Still have,
So they would actually just say, wow, you're really hot. I mean, I guess when you're really drunk, things have a very direct kind of sense.
It's
right?
Like you say things in the outside voice that you are thinking in the inside voice.
So, what if someone said, I like you, you're really smart, or I like you, you're really funny?
Well, if a perfect stranger walked up to me and said, I like you, you're really funny, I'd be like, and you know this, why? Are you stalking me?
Right.
No, but I... like a guy who approaches me to be friendly, but not eager. Eagerness is something that makes me run in the other direction. I can't, I mean, being an attractive person, I want my person of interest to feel attractive themselves. If they don't feel attractive, like, I'm not going to be attracted to them. So they should exude some sort of confidence, and eagerness just totally defeats that. It makes you seem desperate. And I'm not taking pity on any desperate people.
There'd be no pity here.
So have either of you, woken up the next morning in some kind of frat room where you...
Dawson, I think this is your venue.
Really?
Take it away.
Oh, are you talking about, like, next morning, like, the
beer goggles have faded away.
You roll over and you go, oh, my God! That kind of deal?
What is it that I've just woken up next to?
Yeah,
you don't even know. You don't remember.
Really?
Like, don't they own Clearasil type statement?
Oh, ouch.
So I don't know. It's yes, I have. Do you have any particular thing that you want to explore in this particular?
Right. Well, your most degrading and yet illuminating story would be the one I would choose.
My most degrading and illuminating story altogether
in one.
Mm.
Mm.
The foursome.
The foursome was bad.
The foursome?
The fivesome was bad, too.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it seems to me that whenever you have more than two people together, you can't help but having a homosexual element just because of the mathematical relation.
That would be right.
Well,
exactly.
Goodell proved that.
That's a safe bet.
1700s. So you had a foursome or a fivesome, and what happened? How did these things start?
Oh, they start. There are a bunch of ways for these kind of things to start. There's always the
alcohol.
Alcohol is alcohol is an interesting invite because there's the element of you're at a party, it's starting to die down. There's the hey, why don't a few of us go back to my place and just have a few more drinks?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's a very common way for it to start.
Yeah, truth or dare.
But do you think it's more embarrassing to wake up with four people who you've had relations with? Because maybe it's something you can almost, like, laugh about. If you were just, like, I think it would be more embarrassing to wake up next to one person that I don't know, that's ugly, that I don't know what I was thinking, and have to explain.
Okay, yeah, that's usually the worst.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I guess, let me think. I don't tend to like to spend the night anywhere, so I will.
Yes, you do.
Well,
sorry.
All right, well, we should let Dawson's trying to open up his heart here.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to share.
Sweet. I'm sorry.
I don't, when I do spend the night at places, well, all right, there are two scenarios that can happen with this same thing. There's the first scenario where you wake up in the morning and you don't remember exactly what happened, so you sit there and you go through the night to make sure you didn't do anything embarrassing. So you go through the steps and you're like, okay, then I was at the party, Then I had a beer. Then I had four more beers. Then I had four more. Then I had a few shots. And then I had a few more. And then you go through the night, and finally you get to that point where you hooked up with the horrible person. And then that's when you have that morning after, like, oh, shh. But then there's the other scenario where you wake up and actually look over and you see the person there, and you see that you are not clothed, which is, you know, that's always a bad situation. I remember one time this year, actually, that did happen. I was at a party, and I barely spoke a few words to this person, and the next thing I knew, we were both horizontal at the party, which was somewhat embarrassing, but at the same time, well, we left together, and it all, you know, so we went and ended up back at their place. And one thing,
their place? Was this a man or a woman?
I don't know. No,
interesting. You'd think you'd find that out at some point.
No, it was a it was someone of the same gender.
Interesting.
So I like to play the never mind.
Actually, this story is so fascinating, but my producer tells me telepathically that we have another caller.
Yes.
Woo-hoo. Caller, hello.
Oh my God, I need to tell you, you guys have been my salvation. Can I tell you, I have been freaking revived. You guys, that was just the best experience I've ever had in my entire life.
Who's this?
Did you call before?
Yeah, this is Austin.
Oh, homosexual relations.
I'm telling you, we just did this, you know, can I say this on air?
I don't, depends what you're going to say, probably not.
Okay, well.
Well, describe.
try to be as
clinical.
Clinical.
This mutual thing, the mutual thing we were talking about doing alone before.
I think sharing the kind of love only two men can share is what you're trying to say.
Yes, and I'm telling you that you guys have just changed my life forever. Like, you know, it has been the most amazing experience. I've had it wrong all these years.
It only took 15 minutes?
Well, it was just a mutual...
They were excited.
...masturbation thing.
This is... Oh, interesting. So...
Yes.
Oh, you two masturbated each other?
Sure, yes.
No, but that's definitely interesting. That's a nice thing.
We're both just sitting here, like, in this bliss, but we wanted to call because we said we're going to call back. And I can tell you... I
hope you've cleaned up already.
Yeah, of
course. You're not just sitting there letting yourself come.
So I think that's fantastic. I mean, any time that, and that's really the mission of the show, is to bring more love to the community. And any time that two people can find their true nature and find the love within themselves.
Yeah, I recommend this to.
That's fantastic. Have you written any poetry to commemorate this moment?
Poetry?
Maybe a song.
A song.
Well, yes. Maybe you can work on it.
Sort of, I love you. You
love me.
Do you think women should do this to each other? Masturbate each other?
I think women should do this. I think that this is, you know, because, you know, when you think about it, it's like, you know, you guys are so right. I mean, who could possibly, you know you better than somebody of the same gender? And I was think, listening, you know, to...
It's so fantastically liberating for you to think that way because, I mean, people have these artificial barriers that prevent them from interacting, and they should break down those barriers. So, with your friend, do you consider, is this a friendship? Will this be an emotional relationship, or is this just a way for two guys to relate? I mean, you know,
break up the boredom.
Do you still consider this person a buddy, and are you still going to seek female companionship or do you think that you two might become life partners?
They're discussing.
Well, that's a very difficult question.
It is too early to tell. I really can't.
Yeah, it has only been 15 minutes.
Yeah, I really can't say. I can just tell you. Yeah. I can just tell you that I have been liberated. You know, I thought it was going to be such a big deal. You know, I thought it was going to be like this huge thing, and I was so afraid, but I'm telling you, it is nothing.
It wasn't very big.
That's totally how I felt about same-sex relationships and sexual activity between same genders. I totally thought it would be crazy and unenjoyable and
freakish.
Yeah, and it's not.
It was not at all.
No.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where you sort of have these, you have this sort of epiphany. You're like in the middle of things and you're like, this is fun.
And it is kind of fun because there's something almost like forbidden about it, you know, which makes it that much more exciting.
You're like, this is fun. Chastity sucks.
Yeah, I'm over the chastity thing.
Oh, that is so fantastic.
And, you know, Joey, this has helped me for my confidence. I mean, I feel so much better about myself now.
Well, so now, you know, you can watch through campus and, you know, male or female, you can be like, Yes, I'm sexually compatible with you. No problem.
Yes. So,
and you know what? Maybe you'll be sitting at lunch tomorrow, and I'll happen to look up at you, and I'll smile, and maybe you'll know it's me.
Yeah, you have to tell me. Yeah, you have to, you know, I hope that one day we can somehow bump into each other and recognize our voices or something, because you've changed my life. Like, I will never forget this conversation.
Oh.
Like, really, this has been, like, a savior to me. Like, this has been, like, I had so many inhibitions, and I feel like running the street naked.
Like, do it. Yeah. It's spring. Spring fever.
And it's warm out.
Wow. It was just incredible.
Well, I'm choking on myself.
I know.
Really,
I know. Do a Kleenex, please.
You.
I want to tell you, this has been like, I hate to sound so ridiculous, but like, you know, this has been a life-changing show today.
Oh.
And I don't usually even listen.
You like to break new ground.
Honey, hug.
You guys make me feel so good. This has been a life-changing show.
I mean, I know that this has been life-altering for you, but I have to say this happens, you know, every week. I mean, I can't tell you how many lives we've touched, so I'm a bit jaded about it myself, but I am glad that we have had this kind of effect. I was wondering, Joey, would you, now that Austin has had male-to-male contact, are you still interested in him, or
do
gay men sort of turn you off?
I mean, I've seen men kiss, I've seen men do a little more, and... It is a little strange when you see it, but it's it doesn't bother me. And I say, when you see
a butt.
No, when you see things, but there was a comma there.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, it's just a conjunction there.
No.
Okay.
I definitely think it gives you an edge. It gives you a little more worldly experience, and maybe it'll travel back over into opposite sex.
I remember when that first happened with me in front of you, and I asked you if it bothered you, and you said no, because now I know that I can have more than one man at the same time. And, you know, it led to a really interesting evening with us.
Well, this would be the foursome or the fivesome or some other?
This is just a threesome.
Interesting. I mean, so actually, your comments sort of fascinate me, because I'm actually on the completely other side of the fence. I have actually never had sex with a woman. Okay, and so I'm like intrigued. Do you think that
you're missing out.
If I cross over to the heterosexual domain, could this be the missing piece of the puzzle that makes my own sexuality?
Well, girls, I like homosexual men. This is almost a girl.
It's not true.
It's true.
They're good to shop with. They're good to talk to.
They're also unattainable. So, and people always like that which is unattainable. So.
Oh, that was. I wanted to make that point in flirting. Like, the key is mystery. Keep an air of mystery, because as soon as they feel like they knew you, it's over.
And as soon as they feel like they can have you, it's over.
Yeah, so keep the mystery, keep the thrill of the chase, all that. It sounds really calculated, but, I mean, isn't all flirting kind of calculated? So I don't feel bad.
I've been told that at CMU there's the female curse, that all women who go to the school will inevitably end up having a crush on a man who turns out to be gay. So
it's already happened to me.
Well, that's I'm going to hang up.
I mean, look at him sitting across the couch there, Corey.
That's right.
I mean, damn.
What can I say?
To be a man.
Sounds very philosophical.
Oh, to be a man.
So I'm curious about what you just said. I mean, maintaining this aura of mystery and so what do you do? How do you keep your mystique? They say, you know, some completely beer-soaked frat boy says, "You're really hot. Do you want to go to my room and watch, you know, videos?" You say,
"No."
I'm not sure. I mean, how do you remain mysterious?
Well, I wouldn't waste my flirting on anybody who said, "Hey, do you want to go to my room and watch videos?"
Right,
but let's say you were sitting across and we'd already made the eye contact, and I walked over and asked you for a light, you lit my cigarette, we exchanged the glance, and now you're wanting to know more, and it's completely in my power how much I reveal. And the point is to definitely let them know that you're interested, but always keep them guessing. Is she interested in me as a friend or as something more?
I mean, there are different levels of flirting. There's flirting for the sake of, like, trying to get someone immediately into bed for a one-night stand. There's flirting for the sake of get a relationship. There's flirting just to be wanted, and there's flirting just to become friends with people. Because, like, I have a lot of guy and girl friends who flirt with everyone, men and women, just because it's an endearing quality. Well, not necessarily even endearing. It just, like, keeps people intrigued.
It's charisma, almost.
Yeah. I think one of the keys is, the key to keeping the mystery is let them do the talking. They'll end up talking about themselves, and then they'll realize at the end of the conversation, like, wow, she's a really great listener, but I still know nothing about her, you know? And so you've kept that air of mystery, and you've also attracted them because everyone loves to be listened to.
And even when we met, it was never, nothing that ever happened was ever explicitly spoken.
True, and I could have just been inviting you to my room as a friend, but I guess that wasn't the case, was it?
Once the paddles came on, I guess it became obvious what the agenda was.
Whips and this, yeah.
Yeah, but we let things start before we broke out any tools.
Oh, dear.
So there was actually one specific technique that in our pre-interview that we talked about that I was fascinated by, which was the touch.
Oh, dear. See, now I'm giving away trade secrets.
Well, I mean, this is like that Fox show, Breaking the Magician's Code.
All right.
I don't know if you saw it. It's wildly successful. People need to know this information,
okay,
even if it is kind of a trade secret.
Okay.
Breaking the flirtation.
The casual touch is a huge element. If you can just gently, like, put your hand on theirs, put your hand on their leg, put your hand on their shoulder.
See, I don't do the gentle touch. I will, okay, let's say we're in conversation and we're caught up in, he makes a witty remark. And I start laughing, and I will reach over and grab his hand, or maybe a hand on his shoulder, or on his leg, all very innocent, so that it could have just been like, oh, I was excited and caught up in the moment, and I accidentally reached over and touched you, but...
And when he touched you, grip? Is there a little squeeze?
There's definitely a squeeze there. I mean, not like I'm gripping you to death and cutting up your circulation.
Right.
Tickling, kind of like a little nudge in the ribs sometimes, like when you see somebody just like that, just like I just did to him.
And, that was,
and he looked over and smiled, you know, of course.
Well, it's just like out of Clueless. It's like,
Because you're not expecting it. It's like, ooh, I just got touched, and I didn't even do anything.
It's kind of like showing skin. It's like it's a bodily contact, and this reminds people of being naked, and then they think of sex.
It's true. Yeah, so, but again, the touch is really, like, something that you should practice first and be very confident with, because the touch can easily get slimy, the touch can get uncomfortable or too
perverse.
Forceful or perverted. You definitely want to keep it friendly with a hint of something more. Again, always the mystery, always the air of not really being sure, how does this other person feel?
Yeah.
Because then they're going to want to spend time with you and want to talk to you more because they want to find out, how does she feel?
It's really easy to do it wrong. There's the touch that's a little bit too light, and that kind of is like perverse and sort of child molester-ish.
Yeah.
And then there's the touch that's too forceful, and then you think the person is sort of a...
maniac.
Yeah. They have some sort of maniacal streak in them.
So you have to calibrate, and I suppose touching too often gets freakish. I mean, so if I'm...
Yeah, definitely, like, limit it to one or two touches in a conversation, and don't do it again until the next meeting.
Because claustrophobia can kick into effect.
And some people don't like to be touched. You have to be very aware if they seem really open, and their body language, legs crossed towards you, or they're leaning the same way that you're leaning, or have their head tilted the same way you're tilted.
That's fantastic.
It's, yeah.
So what about my body language right now? Here we are. I'm kind of slumped over on the couch.
So if I wanted to attract you, I would mimic your body posture.
Really?
Yeah, tilt my head.
Actually,
maybe I'd like rub your
forward.
Leg with mine, because
I would think
that
I would
works.
Lean forward.
Why, to show off cleavage or something?
Well, that. Well, I mean, just because he's back, so you have to seem a little bit more aggressive if he's in the.
It depends on what I'm flirting to. If I'm flirting to have sex with you, then yeah, I'd probably try Dawson's idea. But if I was flirting just to flirt, that's what I would do.
So I'm intrigued by what something Dawson just said a few minutes ago, which was this idea of flirting to make friends. Now, that seems like a confusing conflation of two different ideas to me. Like, why would you flirt with someone if you want them to be your buddy?
I don't think so. I mean, you want to be... I mean, everyone's attracted to all of their friends, either intellectually or... I mean, even physically, but, you know, there's obviously some sort of attraction, a platonic attraction, that brings that forth. And so, I mean... Flirting is supposed to induce attraction, so...
I also think, like, flirting essentially is, hey, I want to make you feel special and you feel important. I want you to know that right now, like, I'm thinking about you. And I would do that to my friends. Of course I want my friends to think that I'm interested and attracted to them. And so, yeah, flirting among friends, it happens all the time. And, hey, it's good practice for flirting for when you really need to flirt with somebody who you don't want to be just friends with. And sometimes you'll flirt with a friend and it'll lead to something more.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So there's... Now, so we covered actually flirting to get laid and flirting to get... to make a friend. Is there a different kind of flirting to create a long-term relationship? Is there like a third kind of more subtle flirting that sort of attracts the mate?
It's sort of a spin-off of the flirting with your friends.
And I think if you're going to flirt to try and get into a relationship with somebody, you really need to limit your flirting to just them. Because you don't want to be flirting with everyone if you're really only interested in one person. Your flirting should maybe reveal a little more. I mean, flirting to get laid, there's a bit of dishonesty about it. There's like, again, I'm talking about the mystery. I mean, that is almost like holding back something. If you're flirting to get in a relationship, you can be more open, you can be more honest, you can allow more to be revealed about yourself because you eventually do want this person to know you well. So yeah, I think the flirting to get in a relationship is different.
And do you find that I've run into this problem before where once you get to know somebody too well, you know, you lose this kind of initial thrill of attraction and it's almost too late. I mean, do you find this problem where you have to, when you meet a stranger, you either have to sort of score with them right away or it's hopeless because then you become friends and then you don't get to have sex? Or is this just my own freakish
thing? I totally think you're right.
Yeah, there's, I know so many guys and myself included with a lot of people and I meet girls and I'm interested in. Oftentimes I'll flirt with them and we'll hang out a lot, but before I actually get up the courage or the initiative to do anything...
You know them too well.
Yeah, all of a sudden you're friends, and they kind of...
And then you can have maybe a random drunken hookup, but it'll never be that way. It'll always be friends first.
Even in your fabulous squad.
Yeah, definitely. If you think there's something more, I mean, I think there's something to be said for, making friends and then you should date, but if you're interested, definitely interested, and you know that, You need to make a move before you start to get to know them too well and realize maybe you don't want to get to know them.
Then one of the best things you can hope for is friends with privileges. So.
Yeah.
Friends with privileges.
That's what Dawson and I are.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And that means that's your coded way of saying that you're friends, but you still occasionally have sexual contact.
Sure.
Wow.
And that's so daily flirtings.
Yeah.
A, to stroke each other's egos and whatnot, and also to keep in practice.
That's so fantastically liberating. Well, we have about 30 seconds left in the show, and I'd like to share with our listeners that this is WRCT Pittsburgh, Carnegie Mellon's most delicious radio station. And in the final 30 seconds, I would like to ask you, what is your advice to the pathetic love-starved, the theme that started the show, the pathetic love-starved students who need help and I've listened to the show and I've perhaps gotten some advice, what's the best thing you can tell them? What's the most important thing that they should change about their lives right now in order to become more sexual beings?
Start smoking and become bisexual.
And mine is take a risk, take any risks, take all risks, regardless of whether you fail or not, eventually you're going to hit on something good.
And be confident.
Take a risk, but be safe.
Definitely.
Sex-wise,
but take a risk with the opposite sex, maybe.
Delicious. Well, me, personally?
Yeah. Or with the same sex.
We'll have to discuss it
for all those hetero
Kate
people
after the show. But okay, well, heterosexuality. All right, thank you all for listening. Thank you, Austin. Austin, thank you for your fabulous transformative experience and for sharing it on the air.
And Castro.
And Castro. Thanks for all the wonderful calls. Joey and Dawson, thanks for joining us. And producer Kate, thanks for producing. And good night.